This is NPR Illinois. I'm Jamie Dunn. For the past few years, Illinois lawmakers have been focused on the state's heroin crisis. But roughly a decade ago, methamphetamine use was labeled as an epidemic in the state. Meth has faded from the headlines and is no longer a topic of debate in the General Assembly. But some say it's still a problem in Illinois. This week, Illinois Issues takes a look at this topic. I sat down with Andrew Dewey to talk about his story. Andrew, you talked with Sarah Moscato Howe with the Illinois Alcoholism and Drug Dependence Association for your story. We're going to hear from her first because she kind of lays out the situation for us.
The opioid heroin crisis has consumed, I think, the public at this point. I have heard many folks talk about the fact that methamphetamine hasn't gone away.
When it comes to drug policy, Illinois lawmakers have been very focused on heroin in the past few years. What's happened with heroin for it to reach the point that it's widely viewed as a crisis?
Well, my sources say it's sort of a twofold issue. One being that there's been a high amount of overdose death attributed to heroin. The other being that heroin has moved primarily into larger urban areas, specifically suburbs, which distinguishes it from a lot of other drugs that are out there.
What laws have been put in place to try to deal with meth in Illinois?
Well, in 2005, Illinois passed a law that would limit the amount of cold medicine a customer could buy. There's an active ingredient in cold medicine that's used to manufacture methamphetamine. So in order to try to curb the manufacturing, they've limited the number of amount of cold medicine that a customer can buy. When you go in and you buy your cold medicine, people I'm sure are aware, you hand your driver's license and then they have you sign. That gets loaded into the nationwide database, even crossing state lines. If you bought in Illinois and then you buy in Missouri, Missouri will know that you've already purchased the amount you're allowed to in Illinois.
But meth cooks have found ways around these restrictions. What are they doing?
The first way that they got around it was something that they called on the street smurfing, which basically meant you put a bunch of people or smurfs into your van and you drove around to different Walgreens and Oscos, and each person would go in and buy their limit. And that would allow a person to actually get about 15 to 20 boxes on a trip. That was actually made illegal in 2013.
There's also a way of cooking meth that doesn't require as many of these pills. And law enforcement agents you talk to say that this method appears to be on the rise. What is it?
What they're doing is they're just using 2-liter bottles or Gatorade bottles, and they put all the chemicals and mixture in there. So the whole process is basically shaken by the manufacturer or the cook, and they call it shake and bake. Obviously, you have to be very careful because by shaking it and starting the chemical process, you can cause a fire or an explosion. But it requires very little cold medicine, so it's actually very popular. Some people even get good enough that they can make the bottle while they're driving down the road.
You talked with Peoria Democratic State Senator David Kaler, and he's suggested taking the restrictions on cold medicines even further. What does he have in mind?
He was proposing in 2014 to make a cold medicine prescription only, which it actually was until 1976. So he was just trying to get the law back to where it was.
And how was that legislation received in the General Assembly?
Not well. He had a good deal of support from rural areas and rural representatives and senators, but basically most of the urban areas were not interested in the bill. Several of the manufacturers of the product also put pressure on that they would love to be able to control meth, but they wanted to make sure that they didn't inconvenience their customers. Imagine, if you will, that you've got a family of five, it's prescription only. Now you have to have five doctor visits, five prescriptions. It creates a great deal of cost and inconvenience.
Limiting access to cold medicine seems to have cut down the number of labs in the state a bit. But you also talked with Kathleen Kane Willis at the Illinois Consortium on Drug Policy, and she said that doesn't necessarily mean that there's less meth in the state.
It's squeezing the balloon, you know. You put pressure on one place, the balloon is going to pop up in another place. The supply will remain constant. It might not be from the same places, but you're going to have supply as long as you have demand.
So what is Kane Willis talking about here? Where is meth coming from besides labs in Illinois?
It's like any drug. There's always going to be a demand. And when legislation tries to control the ability to create supply, what it did was had an unintended consequence of opening up the door to Mexican cartel to trafficking high-grade meth through the border into the United States. And they're seeing a great deal of this high-grade meth, or what is called ice because it's so clear it looks like crystals of glass, in central Illinois.
You talked with law enforcement officers in Illinois who confirmed that they are seeing meth from Mexico in their communities. Here's Morgan County Sheriff Randy Duvendak.
We still have the local production going on here, but no, we do see ICE from Mexico.
Duvendak went on to give you an idea of the meth problems in his community by describing what his jail looks like on any given day.
I look at our jail roster. That day, we had approximately 50 inmates, and I believe about half of them were in here on specific drug charges, most of them on meth charges.
You also talked with somebody who has personal experience with using both meth and heroin. Her name is Lindsay. We're not going to give her last name to protect her privacy. She said that heroin and meth are both equally available to those looking for them in the state. Lindsay told you that both were terrible for her health and her life, but that her experience with heroin was worse because it was so debilitating.
I was to the point where I literally couldn't get out of bed to brush my teeth unless I had heroin in the morning. I would have it right next to my bed, everything right next to my bed. So the minute I woke up, I could do it. I got to the point where I wouldn't even shower. If I had dope and I got high, then I didn't want to shower. I felt like the shower would take my high away. And then if I didn't have dope, then I was dope sick. So then I definitely didn't want to shower.
Lindsay told you she struggled with addiction for almost 9 years, and she's in recovery now. Some of the sources you talked with are substance abuse treatment experts, and they told you that statistically speaking, outcomes for treatment for heroin addiction are typically better than they are for meth. Why is that?
Heroin has the advantage over meth that there are actually some medicine treatments out there that are very effective, methadone being one that a lot of people I'm sure have heard of. The new one is Suboxone, which is having a wonderful rate of success. Unfortunately for meth, there are no medicines that can be given to take away the withdrawals or take away the sickness that comes from withdrawal.
So after talking with several experts, law enforcement officers, and folks with personal experience, what did you find? Does the state still have a meth problem?
I would say the answer to that is simply yes. My sources are telling me that the amount of meth users really hasn't changed. Even the laws to try to curb what's going on with manufacture, with the input of Mexican cartel meth, meth is readily available on the streets and people are using it.
You can read that in-depth story at our website, nprillinois.org.